Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If you find yourself in trouble inside of a marriage now, love is the answer. These things are the answer to truly see that struggle through. No wonder he starts with love. No wonder it is the beginning of the fruit.
We hope you caught part one of our study on the fruits of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5. Today we are bringing you part two on how do we become fruitful children of God. Too often we try to become a better Christian through our own power, but that does not work. It is only by the power of the Spirit. If you missed part one, you can go to calvarytucson.com and click on Teachings. Now, with more from Galatians 5, 22 through 26, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Love is an action. If you say, I don't love, if you're a husband, you say, I don't love my wife, and we're talking about that agape love. We're not talking about phileo, we're not talking about eros, we're not talking about sterge. All those are other Greek words for love. Greek is a very colorful language and has more words for one word than the English word has. I say I love my wife and I love, In-N-Out Burger. And I love my wife differently than I love In-N-Out Burger. And lately it's been Five Guys and not In-N-Out Burger for me, by the way. So I'm making a slight change. So the love here is, if a husband says, I don't love my wife, our response to him is, well, then you're in sin. Because you are supposed to love your wife. That's a decision to love her. And you say, well, how can I do that? What does that look like? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to read this to you. And I know you know it well. This is the definition of love. Though I speak, this is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, and we'll go through 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then we get love. Love suffers long. Or, as some Bibles will put it, love is patient. You say, well, I'll suffer, but why do I have to suffer long? Because that's patience. It goes on. Love suffers long and is kind. And then you say, well, I can suffer long, but do I have to be kind while I suffer long? Love suffers long and is kind, even though you are patient. When you begin to talk to people about conflicts, and the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And God needed to bless the peacemakers because when you get in the middle of two people that are after each other, it's tough. By the way, there's also another proverb that says a man that gets involved where he doesn't belong in somebody else's dispute is like taking a dog by the ears. It'd be like walking up to that stray dog that looks a little bit sketchy, and grabbing that dog by the ears. So you think, I'm going to get involved in this situation. Well, maybe you should wait till you're invited to get involved in the situation. But blessed are the peacemakers, because oftentimes that's what we need to do, is to get in and get them to see this clearly. So love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Instead, you're happy that someone else is blessed, that there's blessings in their lives. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Again, not doing things out of selfish ambition. Not showing off to cause envy. On one side, it doesn't envy, but the other side, it doesn't cause envy. And this is something to be spoken to for all of us through Facebook. Be careful that you don't Facebook brag. And try to have some reality. You pick the best pictures. You guys all look at me like, don't go here. Don't go here now. I'm going, all right? I'm going to go there. I'm going there. We post pictures a lot of times to get envy from it. It's like just posting so people will go, wow, look where they're at. Look where they're, look what they're doing. And it's Facebook bragging that happens. Love doesn't parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Our world teaches us to seek our own. You make sure you take care of yourself because nobody else is going to. And God says, don't seek your own way because I will take care of you. Seek the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all of these things will be added unto you. Love is not provoked. That's interesting. Love is not provoked, meaning someone can do provoking things. But if you really love them, you're not provoked. It thinks no evil. In other words, it believes the person. There might be evil there, but you're believing the best in them. Does not rejoice in iniquity. When you find out that there is iniquity in their lives, you don't rejoice over that iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things. By believing all things, it doesn't mean that you're going to believe every lie that is told, but it means you believe in that person. Even if they're doing something that is wrong, you believe that they're going to be able to work that out. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then the beginning of the next verse says, love never fails. And when I do weddings, that's the passage I read. And when I get to that part, I say, if you guys can somehow build your marriage, especially the early years, on these principles, your marriage will not fail. Much more than that, it will excel. It will be an example of what God wants. And if you find yourself in trouble inside of a marriage now, love is the answer. These things are the answer to truly see that struggle through. No wonder he starts with love. No wonder it is the beginning of the fruit. And then there is joy. This is not happiness. Happiness is connected to what happens to you. Happiness, what happens to you, happenstance is connected to happiness. This is a deep down joy that is the joy of Christ that God gives us by the fruit of his spirit, even when circumstances aren't good. The same is true with peace. My peace I give to you, Jesus said. It's a peace that the world does not understand. It's that strange peace that even when your world's going sideways, you find that peace because God's taking care of you. You know it's God. Long suffering, which is the word for patience. Love is long suffering. And when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you are patient or you are growing in patience. And this is kind of a sliding scale, isn't it? Because some of you guys come into Christianity without any patience at all. And I'm going to raise my hand along with that, all right? Without any patience at all. It still amazes me how impatient I am with tedious tasks. I can sit down and study for hours and love it and just pour into it. But as soon as I've got to sit down and start formatting something, putting things in a proper place to get them, I just get annoyed. I'm like, I just don't want to be doing this right now. It's going to take me 10 minutes. Just settle down. So it's a sliding scale and your patience is going to grow. You might come in with less and it might take you longer to get the patience in your life. Kindness. And here we really solve the contentious issue by the time we get to kindness. If I have a problem with you, if you've said something mean to me, if I've said something mean to you, if I've treated you in a way that was careless and you are kind, it's going to solve the problem. Or if you come back at me and I am kind and say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that it would hurt you. And maybe you'll go, yeah, right. Okay, well, I'd just be trying to be honest. But kindness is one of those keys. It's hard to continue to be mean to someone who is kind. However, don't be passive aggressive. Really be kind. When people put a smile on their face and in a kind way say something mean, it's more brutal than anything else. Just that the passive aggressive is not kindness, all right? It is passive aggressive. So you've got to be careful that you're like, I am being kind to you. You know, you're going to be careful that you're not passive aggressive with your kindness, that it is a genuine kindness, that you're not saying something mean with a smile on your face. And then when people go, I can't believe you said that, you say, what? I was being nice to you. Yeah, everybody knows you weren't. I shouldn't say everybody, but sooner or later, everybody will. It takes us a while sometimes to catch on to passive aggressiveness. But kindness goodness, being good to people, being good. I believe with all of my heart that what God cares about most for us is the way we interact with one another. I believe with all my heart that what God cares most about for you is the way you interact with the people in your life. We think it's what we do. You talk to somebody who's struggling with smoking and they're like, oh, God hates that I smoke. It's the biggest problem that I've got. And I wonder, yeah, is it really? Is it really the biggest problem? Or could God be dealing worried more about how you're interacting with the people that are around you? Goodness, faithfulness, being that faithful man, being that faithful woman. Gentleness, again, we talk about kindness. Gentleness is another way to just calm things down. A harsh answer turns away wrath. And gentleness would be that sign. And then self-control. And if this is the fruit of the Spirit, that we're walking by the Spirit, then we're not going to get out of control when we're walking in the Spirit. And it also tells us, by the way, that we can reverse this. If I have no self-control, if I'm not gentle, if I'm not faithful, if I'm not good, if I'm not kind, if I'm not patient, if I don't have any peace, I don't have any joy, then I'm not walking in the Spirit. So what is the way to fix it? To walk in the Spirit. To say, Lord, I really need help to be able to walk in the Spirit. Because if you don't have those things, you can be sure you're walking by the flesh. And if you walk by the flesh, it's going to go on to say, from the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you walk in the Spirit, from the Spirit, you will have life. Now, verse 24. Now, remember, the context of this is contentions in the churches in the region of the Galatians, of Galatia. And so he says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's interesting that he uses the term crucify. They live in a very Roman world. They live in a place where they have seen people crucified. Earlier in chapter 2, he had said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. Someone who was crucified eventually died, but they hung on the cross for a long time. Jesus was the exception in that he hung on the cross and died within 6 hours. Most people lasted days on the cross. So when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, he's saying, I am taking my flesh, my desires, my goals, and I'm crucifying them. I will no longer live for myself. I will now live for Christ, and I will live for other people around me. Folks, this is the key to what real Christian living is all about, that you are no longer pampering to your flesh, pampering to yourself. And when you crucify your flesh, it's still alive. It hasn't died. It's just crucified. It still wants what it wants, but it's on the cross. And crucifying your flesh makes it powerless. He says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. That's his way of saying that when you are genuinely in Christ, you are not living a selfish lifestyle for your own desires. It doesn't mean you're never going to fail. And I hate that I continue to have to put those caveats out there, because we ought to know that, right? The Bible says, if anybody says they don't have any sin, they're lying. And I love the way that's worded. It's almost like the Bible saying, if you say you don't have any sin, your real problem is you're a liar. That's your problem. You actually have sin, you're a liar. It's one of your main problems. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we don't blow. It doesn't mean we don't need to repent. Doesn't mean we don't need to nail that flesh back up to that cross from time to time. When over a period of time, we begin to live for ourselves again. But it means we are now living for Christ. We are now living for others. We're living for people around us. Philippians chapter 2, do nothing through selfish ambition, but put the interest of others above your own interest. Let us not only look out for our own interest, but look out for the interest of others, it says in the same chapter. It's not that we don't look out for our own interest. It's not that we don't take care of ourselves or our family. But we now are living for other people as well, and even putting other people's interests above our own interests. Look for very practical ways to carry these things out. Look for practical ways in your home to carry it out. Look for practical ways at work to carry it out. And then he gives this statement, if we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. So in other words, it's possible you could say, well, I live in the Spirit. But you're not doing what you're supposed to do in the Spirit. I've shared this story before. Years ago, there was a gal who was divorcing her husband and didn't have a biblical right to divorce, had developed a relationship with another guy. So I'm at Chipotle, eating my burrito by myself. She sees me there. She comes in, she sees me. She sits down with me. And she's like, I'm glad I saw you here. I have something very important to tell you. I want you to know that I am still spiritual. I'm very spiritual. She's left her husband. She's got another relationship now. I'm very spiritual. And I'm like, I just want to eat my burrito in peace. That's what I wanted to say. But what I said was, well, then your actions would show it. You can say you're spiritual, but your actions would show it. If you live in the Spirit, you'll walk in the Spirit. Don't think you're living in the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, you're going to walk in the Spirit. And that's going to cause you to have to make some decisions that you might not want to make. Like, what was the right thing for her to do? I'm not saying the right thing for her to do was just to ignore difficulties or problems that they had in their marriage. I wasn't saying you get back in that marriage and you just be the good little wife you're supposed to be. Not saying that at all. I'm saying if things are bad enough for there to be a separation, a divorce, then there's some problems in the marriage. Now, whose problems they are, who knows? Those things have to be sussed out. Probably both, but more one than another, most likely. It's just the way things are. Rarely is it exactly 50-50. I've seen 51-49 before. But if you live in the Spirit, you're going to walk in the Spirit. And this takes all excuses away. If you're living for the flesh and you're living for fleshly things, then you can't say, I'm living in the Spirit. No, you're not. You got to walk in the Spirit too. And then to help us to understand again, the context, he comes to verse 26. So the same thing he said as he gave us this passage about the flesh and the Spirit and the works of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. I had those reversed. He says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another. By the way, one of the best ways to provoke people, and people are very good at it when they're good at it, is passive aggressiveness, right? And then it says envying one another, because envy can cause all kinds of problems too. Now, a few things in closing. Do everything in your power to keep peace, the bond of unity within your life, within your church. That's what the church is supposed to be. We are to love one another. And that's to be the sign to the non-believers that we are genuinely his disciples. The love that we have for one another. Does that mean that everybody in the church is you're gonna be fine with them, that they're not gonna rub you the wrong way? Does that mean you won't have personality conflicts? Nope, there'll be personality conflicts. There'll be people who do and say things that are rude. But if they do, what did Peter tell us? Don't revile for revilings. If someone reviles you, then you love back. You do the things that Christ does. In fact, when someone is rude to you in church, they're not supposed to be, it's an opportunity for you now to do the things here in love. It's the opportunity for you to respond out of love towards those who are rude. Number two, you gain these fruits by walking in the Spirit. You don't gain these fruits by trying to be gooder or kinder or patienter. I guess you can't say it right when you're on purpose saying it wrong, right? You do it by walking in the Spirit. So what we take away from this is, Lord, I want to walk with you tonight, and I want to walk with you tomorrow, and I want to walk with you the next day. And these fruits will be the fruit that is in your life. This is not about, boy, you guys better be nicer. You better be gentler. It's not about that. It's about walking in the Spirit. And finally, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. This is probably a very deliberate moment that Paul's talking about. When Paul says, I've crucified my flesh with its passions and desires, and I've been crucified with Christ. Where we say, I will not live for my own passions, but I will now live for Christ. I am not going to live for my passions. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to live for other people. It's a decision you've got to make. It's a commitment that you make unto God. That's how you crucify your flesh. I am not going to live for it. Now, will that flesh crawl off the cross and have to be renailed back on the cross again? Probably. We are dealing with your flesh that you have been pampering a long time, like your entire life, right? Most of it. And so you make that decision. I am going to be the person who lives for other people and not for my own desires. And in this, we become whom God wants us to be. And the church becomes that place that cares for people, that is full of tenderness and compassion and forgiveness, and becomes the place that God really wants it to be. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, forgive us when we, in our self-seeking, even envy, our own desires, have put other people down, have hurt people, have said things that are mean in our carelessness. Lord, help us to be the church you want us to be, the individuals within the church. Help us to be who we know other people should be. Even as you said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let us truly live that way. And Lord, take care of the contentions and the strife that is among us, that these things would be put away for your sake. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you draw closer to Christ. And the more you hurt, get closer to Christ. He is the one who will heal you. He is the one who gives you even the ability to forgive what someone has done. And again, I'm not saying what they did wasn't worthy of your bitterness. I'm just saying you let it go and forgive because you've been forgiven a great debt. So you let it go. You're not saying anything about right or wrong. You're just letting it go. May you walk in that. Be the men and women that Christ has called you to be, walking in the Spirit, and may these fruits be the necklace you wear around your necks.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.